Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 8. Lord Krishna shows his universal form, text 30. Is this Paramasamhita?
This is Jagannath Ashtaka,
17th syllable. How does Jagannath Ashtaka go? Jagannath Ashtaka go. I mean, that's the end of it. What is the first line of it?
I don't know. I tried a few times, but
no
music skills.
Jagannatha Swami Naya. Please repeat. Hastagrihe rachayati vidim pita kolu kaladyais. Chidram yantar nihita vayuna shikya bandeshu tadvit. Dvanvata tagare ritamani ganam swangam artha pradipam. Kale gopyo yarhi griha kartyeshu suvyagra chita. Hasta agraye. When the destination is out of the reach of his hands. Rachayati. He arranges to make. Vidim. A means. Pitaka. By wooden planks piled together. Ulukala adyai. By overturning the stone mortar for grinding spices. Chidram, a hole. He, indeed. Andak nihita. About the contents of the pot. Vayuna. With such knowledge. Shikya. Hanging by a swing. Bandeshu. In the pots. Tatvit. Expert in that knowledge. Or in full knowledge. Vanta agare, in a very dark room. Dritamani ganam, because of being decorated with valuable jewels. Swaangam, his own body. Artha padipam, is the light required for seeing in darkness. Hale, after that, in due course of time, Gopya, the elderly gopis, Yarhi, as soon as, Griha Kartyeshu, in discharging household affairs, Suvagra Chitta, are busily engaged. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When milk and curd are kept high on a swing, hanging from the ceiling, and Krishna and Balaram cannot reach it, they arrange to reach it by piling up various planks and turning upside down the mortar for grinding spices, being quite aware of the contents of a pot. They pick holes in it, while the elderly gopis go about their household affairs Krishna and Balaram sometimes go into a dark room, brightening the place with the valuable jewels and ornaments on their bodies, and taking advantage of this light by stealing. Purport. Formerly in every household, yogurt and butter were kept for use in emergencies. But Krishna Balaram would pile up planks so that they could reach the pots and would then pick holes in the pots with their hands so that the contents would leak out and they could drink it. This was another means for stealing butter and milk. When the butter and milk were kept in a dark room, Krishna Balaram would go there and make the place bright with the valuable jewels on their bodies. On the whole, Krishna Balaram engaged in stealing butter and milk from the neighborhood houses in various ways. A few things from this particular verse is that Krishna's Leela in Vrindavan is very similar to the activities in this material world amongst human beings. Because Krishna doesn't want to display too much opulence in Vrindavan, and even when he does so under the spell of yoga maya, so no one ultimately takes it very seriously. Because we find Krishna doesn't, he and Balaram, they have to pile up the planks and overturn the uluka. Does anyone know where we've heard this word ulukala before? What about in the Dhammarastika prayers? Is it in there? Where? Namam Isharam Shachit Anandarupam Lasat Kulal Kalu Ukala. That Mother Jasoda was trying to tie him to the Ulukala, to the grinding mortar. And Krishna Balaram took that same grinding mortar, turned it upside down, and put planks on it in order to reach the pots. But where do we find that Krishna doesn't have to, sometimes he can display his mystic power with his arms and pick something up? Does anyone know an instance of that? Where Krishna displayed his mystic power picking something up with his prapti siddhi? Yes. What was the name of the lizard? Nariga. King Nariga. And why was he turned into a lizard? Because of the cows. You're blaming the cows now. He was turned into a lizard because of cows. How did the cows turn him into a lizard? Well, this is interesting. You better watch out for these cows. Yeah, so then what happened? They what? They cursed him, yes, they cursed him. Because he gave away one cow to one Brahmin, and that same cow wandered back into his herd again, and he gave it to another Brahmin. And when the first Brahmin saw that the other Brahmin had his cow, he got into a fight with him, an argument. And what did King Nariga offer each Brahmin in exchange for that one cow? Free ticket to what? What's that? Exactly how many? 100,000, you're right. 100,000 cows in exchange for that one cow. You're only off by a zero, so that zero is zero, so it doesn't count. So 10,000 is close enough. And why did he have to pick up the lizard? And what did they see? So why didn't they pick up the lizard? Why that? They couldn't figure out how to get him out. So they went back to Dwarka and they told Krishna about the lizard, and Krishna came. What did he do? He extended his arm, Prapti City, and got the lizard out. So some in Dwarka, apparently Krishna sometimes shows his Aishwarya, his opulence, his mystic power. But when and they didn't seem to make a big deal of it, but I guess because the devotees there, they also have mystic power. They're also super empowered. The devotees there. So they figured Krishna must have it too. But in Vrindavan, everyone acts like an ordinary person. And therefore, Krishna doesn't display such powers in Vrindavan. Instead, he acts like an ordinary person and piles up planks in order to reach the yogurt and the butter. And what about the jewels? Krishna's, has anyone ever seen a jewel that you can take the jewel into a dark place and light up the place? Has anyone ever heard of such a jewel?
Not recently.
Has anyone actually seen such a jewel? You can take it into a dark place and it lights up the room. Actually, these jewels must have been worth a little bit more than the jewels that we have nowadays. Jewels that we have nowadays are just like the reflections of the real jewels. And in the Krishna Lila, what happened when these gopis were complaining to Mother Jasoda, and she said, "All right, I'll take the jewels away." What did the gopis say? Why do they say no?
Because they like
Krishna. No. That may be true, sure. They like when Krishna came, but what was the reason why they said it would be useless to take the jewels away? Because Krishna's body and Balaram's body are both effulgent. So they emit some kind of light that they light up everything, even in the darkness. So even if you take the jewels away, they'll still light the place up. Or maybe it's because Krishna and Balaram light up the place, they give the credit to the jewels. But actually it's Krishna and Balaram who are lighting up the place, and they think it's the jewels who are doing it. But then again, because in the palaces of the kings, for instance in Delhi, when the Muslims took them over, or in Krishna Lila, we find that there is jewels on the walls that they light the palace up. But whether it's the candles and the jewels reflect the candles, the light of the candles, or it's actually the jewels that are lighting the palaces up. But then we find that those same jewels were stolen, some of them that were in the palace of the kings, they were stolen and brought to the English museums. But I don't think they light up the English Museum. So obviously they're very reflective jewels. And when there's a light, they reflect the light and amplify it. But don't necessarily within themselves light up the jewels. Unless you're a very special jewel. Can anyone name a special jewel that's self-effulgent that we know about? What's that?
Shyamantaka.
Yes, Shyamantaka. Maybe Shyamantaka produces
gold.
But what's a jewel that we know for sure lights up the place? It begins with a K.
Kaustubha.
Yes, Kaustubha jewel. Where is that jewel? Yes, so it's a person. It's a devotee. So all devotees are self-effulgent. When we're reading these passages, at least we should remember that we should try to picture Prabhupada, what he's experiencing when he's writing these passages. that they're just not like, they didn't appear out of nowhere. Prabhupada said his purports are his ecstasies. So as we have in the Gayatri Mantra, we meditate upon the Krishnandaya, the spiritual master experiencing pleasure by in Krishna consciousness. So we should also, we remember Prabhupada experiencing pleasure in writing these translating these verses and these purports, then we'll be able to experience, then we're actually in contact with the disciplined succession. We're connected. And it's much more likely we'll experience, well, we'll definitely get a higher experience than anything else we can do. So we shouldn't disconnect Srila Prabhupada from the purports. And we shouldn't connect our acharyas in disciplined succession from the purports either. Because Srila Prabhupada is an empowered empowered acharya from the previous acharyas who were all empowered going back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and therefore through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pure heart, Six Goswamis and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be able to see Krishna in his pastimes as described here. So the more we become connected to the disciplined succession, the more we become connected to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then the more we're actually in Vrindavan experiencing these pastimes. If we try to do it by ourselves, we might be able to do it to some extent as much as we've surrendered to the acharyas and our hearts have become pure. But if we want to get the full effect, then we have to connect the full disciplined succession to what's going on here and the full vision. And then we'll be able to experience more than if we just try to read it as if it was just an ordinary book without connection to our disciplined succession. And ultimately with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva and the Six Goswamis who are revealing to us Vrindavan through these purports and these verses. And also, we can also connect with Shukadeva Goswami and Pariksha Maharaj because they're speaking this. So we can be there in Namasharanya, or actually this bank of the Ganges, and try to imagine Shukadeva Goswami speaking these words to Pariksha Maharaj, and both of them are in Vrindavan by that in that experience. And then we'll also be there, much closer than we ordinarily would be. So we have to give credit to our previous acharyas, the previous great devotees who revealed this knowledge to us, and then we'll be able to, it'll be more revealed to us than ordinarily it would be. Otherwise, without connection to the disciplined succession, it appears to be just like some mundane book to some people, at least. And at least we should appreciate that they were speaking this simply out of love, out of great ecstasy and love. This was being related, and therefore we should have that desire that we can actually experience something of that ecstasy and love that's actually being conveyed here. That ecstasy and love is a result that the words in these verses are non-different from what actually takes place in the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. They're exactly the same, and we can enter into them as much as we become receptive to them. And to become receptive to them, we take shelter of our previous acharyas and great devotees. They're the ones who show us the path of receptivity because they already have that receptivity, that ability to experience what's going on in these pastimes. And similarly, any devotee who can appreciate these pastimes more than us, who has more of a taste for Krishna Katha than we are, then we can take their example also and try to follow it and appreciate it. And that will help us increase our taste and our experience of these pastimes. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? I have to breathe. As soon as we ask for questions, everything becomes very calm and peaceful. You can even hear the sound of the in the pujari room. Okay. Kuala Grantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.